great. Great to be here. Can I just pray before we start? Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you would help us to dig into your word this morning, that it becomes relevant to our lives, and that we take out something that you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've given you, or some of you, the scripture reference, the Bible reference, that we're having a mini-series taken from Galatians, and I wanted to make it a really short passage, and then as I read it, it became longer and longer and longer. So, sorry for that, but I just felt it was good to read it before we get started. It's Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 to chapter 3, verse 9. It says here, I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. Now I live in my life, in my body, by faith in the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. I do not get rid of the grace of God. What if a person could become right with God by obeying the law? Then Christ died for nothing. You foolish people of Galatia, who has put you under an evil spell? When I preached, I clearly showed you that Jesus Christ has been nailed to the cross. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? You began by the Holy Spirit. Now you're trying to finish the work of God in your own strength. Have you experienced so much for nothing? And was it really for nothing? So I ask you again, how does God give you his Spirit? How does he work miracles among you? Is it by doing what the law says? Or is it by believing what you have heard? In the same way Abraham believed God, God was pleased with Abraham because he believed. So his faith made him right with God. So you see, those who have faith are children of Abraham. Long ago, Scripture knew that God would make the Gentiles, that means people like us, right with himself. He would do this by their faith in him. He announced the good news ahead of time to Abraham. God said, all nations will be blessed because of you. So that those who depend on faith are blessed along with Abraham. He was the man of faith. So that's a scripture we're reading from this morning. And just to paint a little picture and build on maybe what Michelle said last week. Paul is the writer of this letter to the Galatian church there. And he's pretty angry. That the people are relying on other things other than to make them right with God. And he also wants to point out that following Jesus is about having faith in the power of Jesus, his free gift, and to become part of his plan for the world. So it's not just a gift for then and there, it's part of his bigger plan for the world. So before we jump in, it might just be good to remember what Michelle said last week. Can you remember what Michelle said last week? Well, I tried to jot down a few things that struck me, particularly about what she said personally about herself. She was the middle child of a family of three. And her older brother was really naughty. And her younger sister was really took all the attention because she was sick a lot. So the naughty brother and the poorly sister got all the attention. So Michelle decided the best way to get attention was to be good,
super good,
super uber good. There's nothing better than Michelle being good. But what she discovered was she could never be good enough. I think that's what she was saying. And she realised that that was like being Christ, coming to Jesus, that she could never be good enough to earn his love. And because, but he's saying, actually, here's a free gift. I'm going to give it to you. You can be a follower, enter into my presence, be part of my kingdom just by believing. Here is my free gift to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing story. And it's the beginning of a journey with God. It's brilliant because it opens up so many things. But I just want to kind of explain a little bit. When we say Jesus died on the cross for our sins, it was a free gift. What did he actually do? Often in the Bible, the body of Jesus is represented by bread. So, and if we think that this is a representation of Christ's body, what did he do for us? He took the things that we did wrong, the things that we could never be good enough for, he took them, we say, he died on the cross for us. And he died a very painful death for our sicknesses and diseases, to heal us, to bring us new life. So it wasn't an easy thing that he did. And some of you might find this shocking, but this is what he did. He died on the cross. He was nailed to a cross. His body was broken for us. So when we were saying, you know, Jesus loved us so much, this is what happened. This is what he hung on a tree. He became, took all the wrong things. They were put on this tree with Jesus. Jesus died for us. And I know it's only a representation, and this is why, you know, we break bread to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. But that's, you know, sometimes we think, oh, isn't it nice and sweet and lovely? But actually the cross was a very painful place. So that's what when Michelle said she couldn't earn it. She couldn't. She could never be good enough. But Jesus died on the cross for her. And I think that when we understand that, when we start to believe that's what happened, and that knowledge, it helps us to believe what he did for us. He overcomes our sin and rebellion by his following. He enables us to have a relationship with God through that death. And knowing what Jesus did for us, we receive that by faith. It's just simple. It's simple faith. We receive it by faith because the Holy Spirit, which God is part of God, is active in our lives. He's helping us to acknowledge of our past failures, and he makes our lives alive to the truth. And when we follow Jesus, we receive the promise of eternal life. This is a gift. We can't earn it. We receive this promise of eternal life. And we start living in relationship with God. He transforms us. He makes us new, a new creation. And when we see what he's done for us, we enter into all the things that he has for us. He died on the cross for me. It means that I don't have to obey a command. I want to follow Jesus. It does something in my heart. It makes me want to do something to follow him because he loves me so much. And I know what he's done for me. My love for him is equal. Well, no, it's not equal. It could never be equal. But it's, you know, I love him and I want to follow him. We become part of God's kingdom. And we have his promises for the future. We become part of his mission. We are called to bless other nations, to see other people enter into this freedom. Our lives take on a whole new meaning and purpose. We're part of God's kingdom. And he's changing us, transforming. He doesn't want to leave us where, you know, just where we've accepted him. He wants to take us on further into his kingdom, to know more about him, to get to know him in a deeper way. It's fantastic. And actually, we're no longer defined by our old lives. We're defined by Jesus who died for us. The heart of who we are becomes Jesus. And when we follow him, our lives start to reflect who Jesus is. And he's making us into, he's transforming us. Jesus works on my life and he changes me. He doesn't leave me where I am in doing the old pattern things. Do you know what? I still struggle with some things. I still don't get it right all the time. But God is changing me. When we look at the cross, we could think, oh, it was just one thing that he did for me. But if you were to see Jesus on the cross now and you say, well, what did he do for you? What did he do for you, Chris? What did he do for you, Sue? You might say, well, he forgave me. He protected me. Michelle, you might say, he's my saviour, because that's what she, you know, he's my friend when I needed help. When I needed hope, he's my hope. He's paid the price for me. That's another work of Christ on the cross. It's not just one thing. It's many things that Jesus is. And it's really exciting that he brings freedom. He brings self-acceptance. He brings care for others. He brings security to me. He brings eternal life. He brings purpose. He puts us in families. Yeah. You know, as we are. When I was thinking about this, there was three things that came into my mind about how Jesus changed me over the years. As many of you all know, I was a police officer. And when the people I joined the police with had a very hard heart. We would call it one toot and you're oot. So one wrong thing that you say and you're arrested. And this worked very well in the centre of Newcastle where we had lots of drunks. So I would be walking along and somebody would... I used to be very fresh-faced. I still am.
He looks about 12.
And people used to swear at me and point that observation out. I would notice some alcohol on their breath and go, be quiet. Go on your way, nice and quietly, otherwise you will be arrested. I got a load of verbal abuse. Ho! Into the cells you go. But the effect of that was, if you didn't do as I told you, then I became very angry at you, and I wanted my way. And Sue and I had a youth group at the time, and there was lots of young people coming in. I was trying to say, don't do that. Why? Because I'm telling you! And I got really hard-hearted. But God changed. I recognised that, and God started to change me. You know, actually, I want a heart of compassion on you. Now, it didn't happen instantaneously, but I know that God's spoken to me. When I think about what Christ did for me on the cross, then I have to have a heart of compassion. He's changing me. When I left work, many of you know this story, but just to paraphrase it a little bit, I felt worthless and of little value. God changed my thinking. God changed the way I felt about myself. I recognised, I had to come to a point where I said, this is the reason, below all this outward feeling not very good about myself, then this is the reason. And I came to the cross. I had to say, well, what Jesus did for me, he changed my life. And as I said, I used to, occasionally still do, feel sorry for myself, things aren't going my way, and then I get miserable. But God is slowly, I know that he's changing me. And I know that my life is becoming set free in that area. So, I'm just saying, Jesus' death wasn't just to have relationship, but it's about changing our lives. It transforms our life to reflect him, to bring freedom and life to us, which we can obtain by having faith in Christ, by knowing what he did on the cross. You know, people do feel bitter, we feel resentful, we lack trust in God, But if we look at the root of that, why we feel that way, is it because we're trying to put ourselves in the place of God himself? We have to go back to the cross and say, Lord, will you show me? Will you let the Holy Spirit show me? What is wrong with my... I've got an attitude here. I feel down. I feel depressed. I feel bitter. I feel angry. I feel hurt. You know, Donna and I were talking about feeling angry the other day. It's not wrong to get angry at something that's wrong. But when you feel angry because of people, it isn't going your way, for yourself, then actually there might be a root cause. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and check, to identify that, so that we can go back to the cross and get healing. Jesus can take bitterness away. Jesus can take anger away. Jesus does not want to leave us where we are, living the life that we're currently living. He wants us to move forward. He's advancing his kingdom and he's advancing us. You know, it's not always going to be plain sailing, and if you think that following Jesus makes you plain sailing, everything's in the right place, life, you know, that's not the case. God helps us to overcome trouble, overcome and persevere, and God helps us. And we can get some of that help by reading our Bible and being open to the Holy Spirit. But I do think it's not about following God out of fear or revenge or retribution, but we understand that Jesus loves us so much, what he did for us. And if we do things out of fear, that's not freedom, but Jesus died so we might have freedom. One question came up when I was thinking about that. Are we free to do anything we want? And I came to the conclusion that I think we are free to do anything we want. But if we love Jesus, we want to obey him and we want to follow him. We want to put his commands at the centre of what we do. Not because there's somebody whipping us and saying, you must do this, pick up good enough to do something, but because we love Jesus. And he's things like, go make disciples, live in the promises of God. When we read the Bible, we can better understand what he wants for our lives. So I want to finish by summarising what the gospel did for us. Jesus died, he was resurrected, so that we can have a relationship with God eternally. And we have to accept that as a free gift. But he calls us to live in him now. And this means the good news that Jesus is continually setting us free. Our old lives are changed, we can be transformed. And as we grow in God, we reflect his love and be motivated. We are motivated to see a community of believers who have faith and are filled with the freedom God brings. So just three things to remember and three things to avoid just in conclusion very quickly. Three things to remember. The gospel has power when we have faith. It brings eternal salvation. It transforms our lives today. The Spirit comes into our lives and brings change. Remember that. And the third thing to remember is don't add laws or additional things, or even, like, we can put, don't have to go to the Bible for laws, we can make our own laws up, which we think, if I comply with this, then that will make me better. So don't do that. See what God has done for us, see what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And three things to avoid. Don't do things out of fear. Know that you are loved by Jesus, he died for you. Don't try and make yourself acceptable. Do things that, don't do things in your own effort, but do submit to the love and care of Jesus. And finally, don't forget what Jesus did for you on the cross. Amen. So, what we'd like to